This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
All right, Pete and Sebastian Show, we are back. What's up, Sebastian?
What's happening? Back up and running.
Back up and running. We have no DJ Lou today. DJ Lou is stalking Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam over in London. So I got Jimmy from Boston's message, because it wouldn't be a show if we didn't start with that. I'll play it off my phone, and then we'll go into the show.
Okay.
You ready? Here we go.
Petey Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. Now, everybody, let's just all take it easy. You know the show isn't canceled. There's no stopping greatness. The boys are just a little busy. Biscuit filmed a comedy special. DJ Louie's defying his restraining order. And Jason Pearl Jam and Eddie Vedder around London now. And Petey, well, this guy's roaming around Walmart's in his red flip-flops looking for a new pair of reading glasses. Which really, the only thing I can say about that is, Petey, what the fuck is wrong with you, kid? Later.
This is for DJ Lou, Sebastian. You know this tune?
No.
Little crowded house. You better be home soon.
I don't know what the hell this is.
Oh, well. Anyway, it's better than Bruno Mars. We are back. What's going down, bro? Where do we start? How is your fourth? What are we getting into?
Oh, man. Back in Los Angeles, 4th of July up in North Carolina. Up in the mountains, and hell of a 4th of July. Got blasted on some phenomenal red wine. My pick of the week on the red wine extravagance is Dana, D-A-N-A. It's a Napa Valley wine that my father-in-law was pouring, and I got to tell you, man, liquid gold.
Well, I don't want to get too personal with families, but we all know that your father-in-law isn't getting wick to buying food on the weekends, if you know what I'm saying. So, what are we talking for a price of this Dana? And by the way, how are we ever going to get a sponsor when you come on every goddamn Monday or Tuesday and start ranting and raving about every product?
Yeah, I just think the products I'm talking about are... I don't know, man. I don't think they advertise.
Well, a lot of the products you use, they don't even have to advertise, man. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, so this is probably a great red wine, right?
Yeah, it's really good. It's for 2010 we had, and I'm just going to ask the listeners to go and look it up. It's Dana Estates. It's a Cabernet. From Napa Valley, we had the 2010, and you can look for yourself what it is online. But I got to tell you, it's one of the nicest wines I've ever had. And I have to tell you, I had one of my top three meals in my life at a place called Artisanal up in Banner Elk, North Carolina.
In your life?
In my life.
Well, all right, then. Do you have the other two or at least one of them that you could say, I know this one too, or is it just you're basically saying one of the
one of those where I don't really have a ranking, but when you're talking about a meal 4 days past the meal, it's one of those ones that sits with you. You know, sometimes you go to a restaurant and you eat and you go on with your life. This is one of these meals where you eat. And then you talk about it like at breakfast the next morning.
Yeah. I mean, when you're talking about a meal that you had while you're having another meal.
Oh.
Yeah. This is a memory. It's more than a meal. It's a memory, bro.
Oh, it's a memory, man.
It's a slogan for a restaurant. Christ, we just give shit away on the show. It's ridiculous. So now, where was this place?
This was in Banner Elk, North Carolina. It's a small town up in the mountains. And this guy, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you could taste freshness. If freshness had a taste, this meal from front to back was fresh. I mean, the salad I had to start, butter lettuce, heirloom tomatoes, red and yellow beets I'm telling you, the last 4 years, I've been into beats. Man, you into beats at all?
Oh, man. You know, we don't have Lou to edit the show, so you sure you want to talk about beats at the start?
I'll talk about beats 5 minutes into a show, man. It doesn't take long.
I mean, I like a beat in a salad, but, you know, so the past 4 years, you're really into beats, you're saying?
Yeah, no, I've developed a palate for a nice beet on some butter lettuce with an heirloom tomato with some cheese and a little olive oil, lightly salted. Oh, God.
Have you ever done a beet salad? I know that's a route, too. Well, there's no lettuce. It's beet. Beet is the main ingredient of the
salad. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'll do a full beet salad. It was so damn good. I went to the farmer's market on Sunday yesterday, picked up 3 beets, by the way, 50 cents a beet. You can't beat that.
Whoa, were you at my farmer's market, man? That...
So this cheap?
Oh yeah, we get cheap in this town, man. We
have isn't it for 50 cents for a beet? That's pretty cheap, no?
I don't know. I don't know what beets go for, to be honest with you, but it sounds like you've been eating beets for 4 years and you got a beet on the price of beets. So I'm trusting you. Now, this restaurant you're talking about, I bet this is the kind of chef that like buys mushrooms off the guys that pick them in the woods and makes stuff based on what he can get off the land in the area, right?
Yeah, this is local. It's all local. You know, it's one of these restaurants that scavengers the area around the restaurant, pulls tomatoes from one farm. And the waitress, the way she described the menu, do you really listen to specials and descriptions, or is that something you tune out?
Oh, tune out. Never listen. That's when I look at the waiter or waitress if I want to get a good look at what they look like, because they're usually not looking at me. I look around. No, never.
So you don't even act like you're listening?
No, I do. When they look at me, I look at them and nod like it was interesting. In my entire life, I don't think I've ever bought something based on what they said out of their mouth. Always menu.
Oh, I'm telling you, this woman was describing the menu, but then she would put her own little personal anecdotes in the description, which really kept my attention. Normally, they just rattle off the food. She was saying, I'm telling you, every time I bring this mushroom salad to the table, I feel like going off in the corner and eating a couple of mushrooms myself. That's how good it is. I mean, she was peppering.
Oh, they caught you on the road. What are you talking? That's good to you? That just stick to the menu. I don't care what you would do with these mushrooms.
Yeah, I'm telling you, though. It
that's not you, but that's not...
Listen, it added some flavor to the description. The description was way too long, though.
She might as well read. How'd she say the mushroom again? Run that by me again, man.
She's like, this mushroom dish is so fantastic. I wouldn't mind taking a few and going and hiding in the corner and eating some of them. Oh. I mean, come on.
I'm surprised you're throwing me for a 180, because normally I could picture you going... Listen, I don't get, you know, I mean, this just doesn't sound like a route you're going to go.
It doesn't sound like me, and I'll tell you why. You spend 5 days up in the mountains with fresh air and no people, you turn into a different human being.
You seem like you're relaxed, huh?
Oh, man, was I relaxed.
I'm glad you had a good one.
I golfed.
You golfed?
I golfed. I got up at 7:45 to golf. And it was nice, beautiful course. But you know what? I don't know how you do this once a day. Once a day, every day, sometimes twice a day. You're going to walk around a golf course 4 hours a day for what? And then you're going to talk about it after you did it? It's like once I do it, I'm done with it. I don't go and relive holes. Did I lose you? What happened? Did you drown? Yes. What happened?
Hold on.
Did the computer fall off the...
No, you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. My headphone came out. I put it back in the wrong jack. I heard everything you said. When you golf, to most people that like it, not me, but it's a sport. Each hole isn't like a ride at a carnival or you're visiting a new bar for a drink, man. You can play each hole over and over. It's like a basketball court. You can go back and shoot hoops, same court, every day.
Yeah, well, what's with the talking about it afterwards, though?
Yeah, that's a sport, man. I mean,
speaking... It's a sport. When you play basketball, you talk about the game?
If the guys I'm playing with are there, I'd be like, yeah, that was a hell of a game, this, that. I mean, look, I'm right there with you. My dad, he golfs every day. I mentioned that on the last show, I think. And he does the move. You ever see this move? Like, I called him the other day, and he goes, I'm on the 15th. Why did he got to tell you?
Oh, I know.
They love to tell you,
They
man.
Love to tell you where they are. Like, you're in your head going, oh, yeah, is that the hole with the
yeah.
with the stream?
Not even I'm golfing. They tell you the hole. We're on the 15th. Great, because I'm coming around with sandwiches. You should be on the 18th by the time I pull in. What?
What a joke.
I had a great fourth, too. Speaking of booze, before we get off that topic, I have a different recommendation. When I was about 30 years old, I bailed on Budweiser. I used to be a big Budweiser drinker, and I just shut it down because I was getting... to a point in the night, if I drank enough, where all of a sudden I would take a sip and the Budweiser was just nasty. The whole thing would just turn on me. So I shut down Bud for years. I danced with Heineken for a while. Now I've been doing some Blue Moons. I've been all over. I'm a man without a beer. I've been a man without a beer. And then this weekend, I saw the stars and stripes on that can. My best buddy and his wife were visiting from New York City. And we both had the same thought, man. We're like, let's keep it patriotic. Let's go with ice cold, not only Bud, but Bud cans. All weekend, I went with the Bud can. And I'm back on Bud cans. And anyone out there who's looking for a beer, stop looking. Go back to the lady you first started dancing with. Grab yourself a can of Bud. Oh, ice cold, knocking them back like crazy. It was a good time.
So you rather have a can than a bottle?
I don't know. Let's have this conversation 2 days before Christmas. I'm by the fire, and you're handing me a can. I'll be like, what am I, an animal? but in the summertime, I got to say, Budweiser can. I'm really liking it. And I think in the winter, I'm going to go Bud can, but pour it in a mug. I'm canning.
Yeah, I would say mug year-round, ice cold, right out of the freezer.
Yeah, but you know, when you're outside, it's like you can't keep that mug cold. You just keep those beers cold in that cooler, baby. I got an old cooler that used to be my grandfather's. A metal cooler. All metal. 7-Up iron cooler. Weighs like goddamn 100 pounds. He used to bring that bitch to Jones Beach in the 40s. And now I use that in my backyard when we load it up with Bruce. Man, they stay cold for days.
Man.
So listen, I got it. Where did you see the works?
We saw the fireworks on the mountain.
Now, from where you were staying, from the home?
No, down by the golfing, the range there, they set up a full-blown firework display, and you just watch it on the lawn.
Well, this is what I'm saying, because we go a town over where my buddy was visiting, right? It's me, Jackie, my in-laws have Sadie, so it's just the four of us. And you go to the water on Lake Erie in the town over in Dunkirk, and they have this unbelievable show that lasts like 45 minutes. Just the best goddamn show from here to New York City. And they shoot them right off at the pier. But we get set up. You know, you find your spot with the blanket and the chairs and the beers. And it just blows my mind the way these people show up. It's as if they see the match striking to go hit the fuse. Then they come running over and they plop down right at your feet. My buddy's sitting. Literally, there was a baby. The guy puts a baby at my buddy's ankles. I couldn't help laughing. I'm like, Jesus. I mean, when you sit down, how much space do you think should be considered yours all around you? A good solid 2 feet all around, the radius?
I'm gonna go a step further and go, if you sit down and I could smell your food, you're too close to me.
Oh, well, in that case, these people are on top of us.
Yeah, no, that's too close. I think you need at least, what, 5-6 feet?
I think if you're sitting in your lawn chair and you put both of your feet forward and cross your legs, you should still be about 6 inches from the person in front of you.
6 inches?
Hey, listen, man, it's a popular show. There's limited grass space. No one needs to take up too much. I was thinking about bringing caution tape, man. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, yeah, cones.
Bro, can you imagine? Now, what about you? Were they a little more civil when it came to your space?
Well, listen, I have to say I'm a little spoiled when it comes to 4th of July because there's very...
Where are you at, where are you roughing it, by the way?
the situation where we watch the fireworks, there's not a lot of people where you might have a problem with someone putting someone near you. So I have to say there's not a lot of people there where it's like Jeez, I'm going to say this. It's a private fucking fireworks show.
Hey, your father-in-law ain't bringing a blanket to the old public park, is he, huh?
There's not too many people.
How private? I mean, is it so private that you know what time it starts because it starts when your father-in-law asks you to hand him a lighter?
Well, yeah, let's say if... my father-in-law has to go to the bathroom, the fireworks will wait.
Pause the bottle rockets. The big guy's going for a piss. Oh, that's too funny, man.
So, yeah, we're a little spoiled that way. But, man, I tell you, if I didn't go up there and watch fireworks, I don't think I could go, like, you know, downtown Los Angeles, Santa Monica with all those people and watch fireworks. I get too aggravated.
Yeah, especially, like, where I go, it's about 3 miles down the block. We could ride our bikes, and, you know, you can get out. We got out in 2 seconds, but I hear you. I've gone to the big ones, like Macy's Fireworks Show and Jones Beach, and no matter how great they are, you sit there going to yourself, I think the finale's starting. If I bust out now,
yeah,
I might beat this crowd out, and you're like, well, I'm not even staying for the finale. What's the point?
Yeah.
So my buddy I've told you about, Jeremy, who has a party on July 3rd every year where the Gronk has come to in the past.
Yeah.
So we had the party this year, and it was just a little too windy for the bonfire, but he shot off the works. And here's the deal, right? This guy is unbelievable. The generosity. I mean, I don't know, man. We guesstimated it was probably about $500 worth of works, me and my wife and my friends. And he's down there with these giant boxes. Like, he don't do firecrackers. He don't do bottle rockets. Everything is, like, huge. Like, things that take 3 minutes to finish going off. And when one's going, he's got a blowtorch bent over, lighting another one. So they're all going at once, man. It's unbelievable. And it lasts, like, 15 minutes on and off, you know, when he relights them. So afterwards, at one point, I'm standing with him in the backyard. There's a bunch of people there, and I'm saying thanks again. It's so grateful, you know, that you do that. And another guy came over, and I know we didn't mean anything by it, but he says, "Well, it must be nice to have the kind of income where you can burn $500 with a match," like basically something like that.
Wait, who says that?
A guest.
Oh man, I'm upset.
But I know he meant it like, I wish I had that kind of money. He even said, he goes, it must be nice. I wish I had that kind of money where I could, I wish I had that kind of disposable income. That's what he said, where I could burn $500 with a match. And I'm looking at him like, what happened to fucking just thanks?
Yeah.
I mean, and my buddy's like, he felt weird. He didn't know what to like, what are you implying? That I'm like an asshole because I'm burning works? I'm doing it for you people.
Yeah.
I just
Sometimes, man, I don't understand people's comments or where they're coming from, or do people think what they're saying before they say it? It's like, don't correct me. Just say, hey, man, that was an unbelievable show.
Must be nice to have a disposable income. Oh,
yeah.
Boy. Oh,
no. Yeah. Then you know what? Yeah, it is. Now enjoy the fireworks.
Exactly, man. Enjoy the food and the free drinks and the keg and the fireworks. My God.
Yeah.
I tell you.
Why is he there then?
Of course he's there for the fireworks, man. What are you up for?
Yeah, of course.
I tell you, Jackie and I had my friends here, and visiting my house, it's all I'm going to say about visiting my house for a weekend. I should sell postcards. Like, literally, you'd want a postcard when you leave because you just felt like you spent a weekend at a bed and breakfast. I mean, we're borderline. We should have a website. It's, I mean, even when I pick my friends up at the airport, my buddy calls. I said, call when you have your bags and everything else. He's down. He goes, we just got out in front. Where are you? I was in the loop, the airport loop. I was already in the loop.
Oh, that's great.
Come around, they get in the back. I got two bottles of water. I even brought the roof for comfort. I wanted to bring the Jeep, but it's a borderline stagecoach. Get home. They have their own room. The guest room I have has two doors. One door, I mean, a bathroom next to it that you can get in and out. But we lock the bathroom door so no one can get into it from the living room. So they have their own bathroom, their own room to change.
Wow. So it's like literally you're checking into a hotel.
Checking into the hotel. Jackie's already bought all the food for the entire weekend, for the whole menu is told to you. We'll be having the first night we took him to an inn up the block. We sat on the outdoor porch, had dinner. I did one of my moves where I go pay for the bill before the waitress can bring it over.
Nice.
Hey, they flew in, right? They brought gifts too. Very classy of my friends. Second night, we had these steaks that we bought. Beautiful steaks from this place. Special kind of steaks. Third night, beer can chicken, baby.
Nice.
So, anyway.
So, any problems with the guests? I mean, at one point, did you and Jackie go off on the side and go, did you see he left socks on the floor?
You know, not a single man. And that's the beauty of a best friend. I mean, this guy's been my best friend since third grade. So, you know, it's just none of that, man. It's just, yeah. You know, and it's different when I have all the room than when I used to live in the city, because I got two separate porches in the morning. You know, my buddy's wife, who's awesome too, she's off on a separate porch having a phone conversation. She got a little hosed, man. She got a little hosed. She had a friend she was going to visit. They were staying with us till Sunday. Then my buddy was going to fly home, and she was going to go visit a friend in Canada, right over the bridge, because I'm only about an hour from Canada, and spend a few days on the lake with this friend.
Mm-hmm.
Got to change the plane ticket, all this stuff. The friend calls the night before, says it's pouring rain, it's supposed to rain all week, so she basically said I'm canceling it. She didn't even give me the option. If you want to hang out in the rain, we can hang out.
None of it.
You when you have big plans and rain is going to destroy them, you still got to go through with it, man.
Yeah, I mean, what's the little rain?
That's what I'm saying, man. So, but anyway, there's a lot of chitter chatter. What do you got? Because I got an Italian take we can do today.
Well, speaking of Italian take, we're off to Italy on Friday.
Oh,
we're
booking, God.
What we did is we're doing a cooking class. In the Amalfi Coast, there's a little Italian woman who runs a little cooking class out of her house, overlooking the water right off the cliff. It says in the email, "Don't bother eating breakfast. Don't bother eating dinner that night. You're gonna have enough food to last the whole day," and just one of these experiences where you're cooking, you know, right out of the garden. So we're looking forward to that.
How many days of cooking with this lady?
Just one day. Right. It's a 7-hour extravaganza.
Oh, wow. That'll be pretty cool, man.
Yeah. So we got that. We booked some restaurants. For the most part, we're just going to eat and drink our way through Italy and Paris. Simple as that. I don't do tours I'm not a big guy to, you know, in museums, stuff like that. Just give me a bottle of wine, plate of pasta, and my wife, and just let me just sit outside and let me look around, and we just talk about people.
There you go, man. I've been to both places. People watching is awesome.
Yeah, I don't think you can beat people watching.
Are you guys probably going to go to the Louvre, though, with Lana being an artist?
Yeah, no, we'll do all that, but we're not going to, you know, we're not one of these couples that have every day planned out.
Oh, of course not, man. You're in Paris. You wake up and you do what you feel.
Yeah, they fly by the seat of our pants.
Have you, when I went to the Louvre, I saw the Mona Lisa. Have you been to Paris before?
No, yet? Never.
When you get there and you look at it, you need to ask Lana, because I need to know from a friend, not some expert. I need her to tell me when she looks at it, what makes the Mona Lisa so unbelievable? Because everything I'm looking at in that Louvre and everything I looked at in the Vatican and the Sistine Chapel is all un-fucking believable. So why this one plain broad with long hair?
I don't know. I mean, you saw it up close, right?
I saw as close as you can. You got all the Asians videotaping it. I'm like, she's not going to wink at you, man. Just take a fucking photo and move along. But yeah, it's not that big either. It's only like the size of your computer screen. But I did see it's behind a glass case. It's pretty cool to see in person, but then you're looking at going, I mean, it's great, but like, I don't, why this one over that one?
Yeah. I don't know. I got to ask her. I got to see it for myself. Isn't it one of those things where the eyes look at you wherever you go? Or isn't that something that,
that's the one on the wall in the movie Clue.
Never seen it.
Nah, I know. It's like, oh my God, the eyes don't follow you, do they? I mean, that's a Google that shit. Do the Mona Lisa's eyes look at you wherever you are in a room?
Yeah, isn't that the whole lure with the whole Mona Lisa thing, or is every Jesus Christ photo?
I listen, if that is the lore, then in my opinion, you are a bit of an art expert.
All right, let me see what I learned. Why do the eyes in painting seem to follow you? So, contains hidden code. Okay, here. It says here. How come I don't have it now? The Mona Lisa is a famous example of a painting with eyes that follow you. How does she do it?
Oh,
so yeah.
All right, man. It sounds kind of like that might be it. That's the reason.
See, listen. I'm not only a comedian. I'm well-rounded.
Dude. In the past year, you've driven race cars on ice. You're going to cook in the Amalfi Coast. You're living the life of Anthony Bourdain without the cameras.
Oh, God.
Everybody wants to live a good life. And you know what? I make fun of you for all these great things you do, man. It's just because it's so unbelievable, all these great things you do. But, you know, thanks for being a big sport about it. And I'm prefacing all that because I have to say, like, you're sitting there watching a private fireworks show and, like, your biggest concern is, fuck, I got to pack for Italy. Wait, I'm flying over to Italy. I got nothing going on. I'm not on stage. Oh, that's right, because they're editing my 1 hour. Do you ever just pinch yourself?
Every day.
No, you worked hard, so that's why, you know, it goes hand in hand with what I'm saying. You worked hard for what you have, and maybe that's why you appreciate the waiter up there in Carolina, having been one for years at the Four Seasons, so... You paid your dues.
I tend to talk to the staff when I go to these things a lot more than the people actually attending. I feel like I get along with the staff better.
Well, you don't watch, but there's a great show, Downton Abbey, Jackie and I watch all the time. And there's a guy who is a chauffeur, fell in love with one of the daughters, and now he's accepted to the family. Meanwhile, the daughter died, but they had a kid. So now this guy's living the royal life. But he really was a chauffeur. Everybody knows it. And, like, whenever he wants to have a moment with someone he can understand, he's always downstairs hanging with the staff because that's where his roots. That's you, baby. That's you.
Yeah, when in doubt, go to the staff.
I was telling my buddy this weekend when I worked front desk at a hotel, I go, you know, through the years doing stand-up, once in a while I'll drop at the front desk to the person checking me in that I used to work the front desk. I know how difficult this can be. And I'm like, every single time I've done it, not only did it not help, I think it kind of made things harder on me. Like, even if they were going to upgrade me, I think they were like, oh, listen, what do you think we're going to connect? Because you used to do this fucking job. Now you get two twins. Do you ever do that as a waiter? Do you ever lean over going, I did it at the Four Seasons in LA?
Oh, absolutely. Oh. I go, listen, I did this for 7 years. I try to bond with it. I go, you're sick when people come in, they put their feet, you know, like I try to give them like a lead in to bitch a little bit to me about it because I know how it is.
Yeah, but you know, it's like, don't you remember when you were doing that? Someone said that to you. They're like, I used to do that. And you look at them like, great, but you ain't doing it now.
Yeah, no. I looked at them like, what's this asshole trying to do? Connect?
We all do it, man. You can't, when someone is doing a job for you that you used to do, it's just human nature to let them know. It's almost like you're saying, don't try to fuck me over. Because if I had your tools, I could do this shit myself.
Yeah, you're almost saying, listen, if you go down tonight, I could take over, no problem.
So, flying to Rome first?
Where do we go? Yeah, we're going to Rome, and then we drive to Amalfi, then Tuscany, then Venice, and then Paris.
Are you guys renting a car in Rome and driving yourselves?
No.
So, you're taking, like, a service or something?
Yeah.
Because Jackie and I rented a car in Rome. We stayed, if you walk around Rome at all, if you go to the Spanish Steps, at the top of the Spanish Steps, great hotel called the Hassler Hotel. That's where we stayed, man. It's like the nicest hotel I may have ever stayed in. It's awesome. But
oh, you stay there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you recommend driving?
No, man. Well, I mean, if you could get out of Rome, it should take you from the Hassler when we rented a car. It should take 15, 20 minutes to get out. It took us 3.5 hours to get out of Rome. We didn't know what the fuck we were doing, dude.
Yeah.
It was just not worth it, man.
Yeah, I hear it's pretty confusing. So we're just like, let's get somebody that knows what the hell they're doing and go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, see, that way you can relax more and watch the countryside. Because that's the other thing. Once you do get out of the city, they basically go as fast as the car will go. I'm not even kidding. There's really no speed limit, man. It's just a free-for-all. So it's nerve-wracking.
Oh, well, you know what? It's the faster we get there, the better. So floor it.
Well, it's going to be an awesome time, man. You must be psyched.
So, yeah, it's going to be nice just to get out. I had a meeting today with the agents.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you go in a meeting with these agents, and they're just very, like, I don't know, just like, hey, goof around a little bit, man. That's so serious. You ever get that vibe?
Yes. Yes, man. It's... You try to connect with them sometimes on some personal level, but it's just hard. It's weird.
Yeah, it's like, oh, what we're going to try and do, everything's going to be very planned out. And it's like, hey, they're talking to me as if I'm going to say in the middle of the meeting, you know what, I'm out of here, fuck this. Just loosen up, man.
Yeah. I would always love to, even like when I'm agents are really into me because I have something going on, whereas, you know, as opposed to other times, like when you're in L.A. or when I'm visiting L.A., they try to set up a meeting with my agent, and I'm like, there's no reason to other than just to say hi and, like, you know, not Heidi the booker, that's different, but, like, the agents, mm-hmm. And they always seem to, like, have 1 foot out the door, and I'm sitting there going, I didn't even want to meet anyway. There's nothing to meet about. But
yeah.
But even when I have the ones where they're into it and they may be, you know, really attuned to what I'm saying, I'd love to just be a fly on the wall and, like, leave and then see what it's like if, like, Brad Pitt came in to meet with them. Like, how different is it?
Yeah, like, they had, like, some pretzels and water and Diet Coke. So if Brad Pitt came in, like, what's the craft service table look like?
Do they, like, literally go sushi or whatever? But if you're saying your agents were keeping it business, though, that's a good thing, you know.
No, hey, that's cool. I'm just saying it's just very, very business-like. But like you said, I wonder what happens when a big-time guy or girl comes in if, you know, what they get. Do they get, like, a goodie bag on the way out?
Are they met? I mean, do they even wait for a second in the lobby?
Yeah, listen, do they even have to go to the agency, or does the agency just go to their house?
Yeah, right. That's probably the case. Jesus. We got a good script. Well, buzz the gate, bitch.
I ain't leaving.
Yeah, man. Where am I going?
We got kind of chastised for not bringing up the, and I know you're not watching, but, and this is kind of old news, but the guy that got picked on the Italian squad.
Oh, yeah. He bit, right? Wasn't he a biter?
Yeah, a biter. Guy bit the guy on the Italians, and people were wondering why we didn't talk about that. So that was big news that the Italian guy got a chunk of his shoulder bitten out by the Suarez. And my answer to that, and which is pretty much my answer back then, I didn't find it funny.
Oh, really? So you're very, what are you, like, upset or something?
First of all, you don't bite anybody. And then secondly, you don't bite anybody who's Italian. Right.
Hey, you know, I mean, if I had to bite somebody, I'd bite an Italian. I mean, not counting a woman, of course, but that's a different story. A man, I'd go Italian. We could bite a German or Russian. Got fucking vodka in your lips. Let me ask you this, though. Have you ever bitten anyone, not obviously any kind of kinky sex, but have you ever bitten anyone in any situation, maybe a fight? Really, it would only probably be a fight.
No, I never took a chunk out of anybody. You?
10 years old, Jennifer Prasmark, bit her in the thigh. She was six. I mean, she was eight, 2 years younger.
Well, the thigh? How'd you get down there?
We were fighting for a kickball on the front lawn, and things got a little heated, and she was, my size, actually, and I bit her thigh, man. Didn't draw blood. Parents started yelling at me. I got sent home. It was one of those deals, man. I bit her thigh around 5, and my old man didn't get home until the 7:20 train, so I knew I had 2 hours and 20 minutes, and then he came home, and you hear my mother saying, what? And you hear my father in the kitchen going, he bit him? He bit him? Where is he now? Never been.
Yeah, those were, aren't those frightening when the father gets wind of what you did?
Nightmare. If I only had a mother, Jesus Christ, I would have graffitied her bedroom when she was sleeping. I would have been an animal. Right?
Well, I used to do something bad. My mother said, go to your room, wait till your father gets home. Now, I would be up in my room looking at the clock, waiting for him to come home because I had to try and get a story or something together. And he would come home. You would hear the garage open. You're like, he's here. You'd walk in, talk. My door was shut, but you had to go upstairs to get to my door. It was 13 steps. And you would hear every one of those footsteps coming up. And you'd get that knock on the door. And I'd open it. And the look on my father's face was, listen, I just worked 14 hours. Okay? And this is the last thing I want to deal with is your problems. Right? So the look of, like, just sheer hatred and disappointment was enough for me never to do whatever I was doing to get me to my room. And I don't think that exists today.
Wow. Now, it doesn't, man. And your old man's got some powers to not even have to instill any physical punishment. I'm a little blown away by the story, and I think I'm most blown away by the fact that your old man had the decency, even under these circumstances, to knock.
Well, the knock was even, it put more fear in
you. Yeah, man. You're like, it's going down.
Yeah, because there's a moment from when you hear the knock to when you got to go get the door that you're actually telling yourself, this could get ugly. If he came in out of nowhere, then, you know, there's no time, there's no fear, there's nothing, that it happens right away. But a knock at your door, and the way he used to knock was just like a ping, ping, ping. It was like three distinct heavy knocks, and you're like, there's a giant on the other side of my door right now.
That ain't a light, like, hey, son, I got Chicago White Sox tickets for Sunday. Now, did you ever do it? Because I had a similar one, but my mom would always have to pick my dad up at the train station. And then when they pull in, if they didn't get out of the car right away, we'd look through the window and watch, and you're like, she's telling them everything out there. Look at that chatty Kathy killing us.
Oh, yeah.
And then when he would come in, even if it was like a couple of hours before my bedtime, I'd do the old try to pretend I'm sleeping already. Like he's going to go, I don't want to wake the little guy up.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Come right in. Get up. Get up.
Yeah, your sleep did not matter to your parents, right? Now, today, it ain't like the kids are running the house.
Yeah, and that's why when I go to fireworks show, I don't sit on people's lap because I was born and raised the right way, man.
Right, there's a right and wrong way to raise your kids. Let me ask you this, and I presented this to Lana, and she looked at me like I had four heads. Do you think there's people out here that have a baby and look at the baby and go, do you have to like your own baby?
No, dude, Google that shit. Brooke Shields, she didn't like a kid till the kid was practically old enough to drive.
I gotta Google this then. Brooke Shields did not like the baby.
For like 2 years. It's called some sort of depression syndrome. I forget.
Oh, no. That's postpartum.
Postpartum, yeah.
Didn't like the baby. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying where you look at the baby, you want to throw it out the window. I'm looking at it going, do you ever look at the kid and the kid ain't behaving in a certain way? And you go, Jesus, this is fucking kids. Because you always hear, oh, my kid's so good. Does anybody ever just say, no, it's a problem?
I can honestly tell you there are moments in certain days, not often, but there are times when Sadie's whining for no reason and won't stop and this, that. And I'm thinking, like, if that's how she was all the time, I wouldn't really like that kid. I'd raise it and do what I have to do legally, but I wouldn't like it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If your kid has behavior problems, when do you start going, hey, when are you turning 18?
Oh, well, behavior problems. Again, we're not talking about postpartum. We're not talking about behavior problems. We're just saying, has anyone just ever had a totally healthy kid and they wanted a kid and then the kid was like 3 or 4 and started to develop a personality and the parent was like, "This kid's, I think he's kind of a dick."
Yeah!
I don't really like him.
Yeah!
I mean, not everyone likes everyone. I doubt that. Almost never happens because your kid is he's a chip off the old block. I mean, can you imagine hanging out with a mini you? Before you could even suggest a back rub, he would be. I can't wait till you have a boy. I'm going to get him his own massage table when he's 5.
Oh, man. But listen, there's parts of my personality that I wish I could change, right? That might not be fantastic. Maybe I should be a little bit more outgoing, or maybe I should be a little bit more understanding or accepting of people. So I might not like these traits in myself. So these traits might go to my kid, right?
Right.
So what I'm saying, my point is, do people ever look and go, Jeez, it's just like me. He's just like me. So he hates people. I wish the kid would love, you know.
No, because what's going to happen is he's going to, I'm sorry, cut you off.
No, go ahead.
He's going to be standing right next to you. And as much as you hate that about yourself, the bottom line is you're going to look at someone and go, look at this guy with the, and before you could say it, your kid's going to be tapping you going, Dad, you see this guy with the fucking orange flip-flops? And you're going to go, I hear you. And he's going to go, right? Next thing you know, you're probably going to start to like these traits about yourself again.
Yeah, you're right. I'll probably look at the kid and go, this is why I wanted a baby.
Yeah. Hey, look, all I know is when I was trying to quit smoking, my favorite person to be around was whoever was smoking.
Yeah.
Pull me in. I want you to pull me in. No, yeah, it's an interesting.
God. You know, well, I mean, it's one of these topics that no one really talks about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you have a dislike towards your own kid when the kid is, you know, whatever, 6, 7, 8, when he starts to develop an attitude? I saw a video up on YouTube of a mother bringing her, 8-year-old kid into a doctor's office. And they had like a camera there at the doctor's office. Camera caught everything. That this kid had a tantrum, hitting his mother, then ripped his mother's skirt off and ran out of the doctor's office. Now, you as a parent, you see your kid ripping your skirt off. Isn't there like a party going? What's the problem here?
Well, that sounds like a bigger problem, though, man.
It sounds like no discipline.
All right, but what do you do when, like, all right, I'm in a park with my daughter and she's playing with some sticks and she's loving it, and I'm sipping coffee and we're relaxing, it's great. Now it's time to go, all right? And she's been wonderful the whole time, and I pick her up by her armpits and hold her, and she starts kicking and shaking in the air and screaming as loud as she can.
Yeah, what do you do?
Well, why don't you tell me, man?
I don't know. You've been in the situation where the kid doesn't want to move and the kid's screaming and yelling. How do you discipline that?
What I do is I still do whatever I was doing. If it's putting the kid in the stroller, I put the kid in the stroller. I tend to mock her a little too. I'm like, what? You don't even know why you cry. Why you cry? You don't even know. You don't even know. You don't even know. I say stuff like that. And then within 2 or 3 minutes, you wheel away, and she doesn't remember. Oh, she already forgot that she was loving the sticks, and you move on. Now, we were on the 4th of July, a couple behind us. They got like a 3-year-old boy in a stroller. The first fireworks go off, and I mean, these things are so big, and they're right in front of us shooting off the pier that the big ones, you can feel like the air, like an explosion.
Yeah.
And this kid starts crying, right? Now, first of all, I personally have a problem with children afraid of fireworks. I mean, step up, kid. Step the fuck up.
Yeah, step up.
I didn't bring my daughter. She's too young. But if I did bring her and she started crying, I don't know. I think I'd literally Google, can you adopt at 2? I mean, you know, give her. But the bottom line is, and I know there's people out there with kids and their kids do cry. I know. I get it. But the point is, this kid's crying and he's crying more and more. And the father says something like, keep crying and we're going to leave, you know, which I'm like, dude, at one point the guy was such a redneck. He goes, I'm going to count to 3. And if you don't quiet by 3, and he goes, 1, and then he stops. And I lean over to Jackie. I go, he doesn't even know the rest. But other than that, I wanted to turn around. We were all doing that. Everyone around us was doing that turnaround because the kid was screaming the whole show. And obviously one party is like, get out of here with the kid. But the other part, you're like, dude, pick the kid up. Hold them. Show them they're not dangerous, man. You're just letting – I felt so bad for the goddamn – I wanted to pick the kid up myself and do it. And just – there's always going to be people like that, bro. That's my rant.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying – why? To me, that's a removal from the situation. If your child is ruining the experience for everybody else, you lose out. Because you had the baby, and the baby's acting up, so now you have to remove yourselves in the situation. Me and Lana went to it on the plane from North Carolina, L.A. We sat in the midst of 6 kids. Oh, by the way, I had somebody comment on this is a sidebar here. I had somebody comment on Facebook on our fan page in regards to the move I do where I put my arms up so nobody could hit my seat on the way down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this guy, hey, I gotta read it. You mind if I read it?
What, are you kidding me? I'm all ears. What's this guy talking about? Well, he's got a problem with the arm move?
He's got a problem with the arm move.
Well, what, he must be one of these guys that has trouble getting down the aisle. If you can't get down the aisle without using each seat like a ladder handle, then take a train. Take a train, pal. God.
Yeah, here he is. He goes, if Brewer had his pop on a plane and he might need to use the seats for balance, is that a crime? I used to take my mom to Vegas from Maryland on the red eye, and I'm sure she might have touched the top of the seat. Would you rather have her in your lap? If I had seen the elbows come up on an elderly person, you might have had some splaining to do. You guys are peacocks. Even though I'm done listening to your whining, I do hope you make it big. A big show that's a success versus airplane whining? Really? Both of you guys are too old to be talking like amateurs.
Wow. Well, we got a lot to address there. First of all, Brewer flies first class. So when his dad gets on the plane, there's no aisle to walk down. He takes the first seat.
Okay.
Second of all, why do we always got to clarify? I mean, obviously, if there's an old lady walking down the aisle, I don't think Sebastian's going to give it a left forearm.
No, I'm going to stand up.
And help her?
Yeah. Now, listen, what people got to understand here is when we talk about these things on the show, and I'm not defending or whatever. I just bring this up because it's fun to talk about. But it's we're goofing around.
A little tongue in cheek, bro.
Tongue in cheek, guy. Come on.
Yeah, of course. You got an old lady, you're escorting your mother down the aisle. Of course. She's in the bathroom a long time. I'm not going to knock. I get it. But Your average Joe in flip-flops coming down the aisle on his way to Vegas, baby, Vegas. He's getting the fucking bicep.
He's...
I don't know this amateur show stuff. I don't know what's going on there. But, I mean, did we ever say we were coming live from the top of the Empire State Building?
No, I don't remember that being addressed on the show.
I think I just started the show with a recording of a message, and then I pressed play on my podcast to play a song. So we never said we were Stern.
Yeah.
From a
by the way, did you hear this Opie and Anthony thing?
Yes.
So what are you hearing over there?
What'd you do, cover the mic with your hand?
No, why?
What's oh, there problem? We go. Now you sound better. No, all I know is the news, man. I was on that show like once or twice ever. I mean, good guys and all, but I don't know anything on the inside, you know, over there. I had heard, though, not through the years, but over the past couple of years, that maybe they're not like all, you know, as tight as they used to be. Not so much Norton, but like Opie and Anthony, you know. I don't want to spread rumors, but, you know, I don't know if they're as super tight as they used to be. Maybe they are, so I X-nay that. And we have no ability to edit either, so I don't know.
Who knows? It's just a shame.
But doesn't it sound, based on those tweets, like Sirius was just kind of looking for anything at all to split them up? I mean, because like when it said racist tweets, and then I read them, I'm like, I haven't read anything racist yet.
Yeah, I didn't read the tweets. I just heard it was some tweets that he said or something, and I didn't read them or anything. I'm just surprised for Sirius Radio to be dumping somebody for. You know, stuff that they're saying. I guess you got to watch what you say now. I don't know.
Dude, if I had a sitcom on TV, I literally, my tweets every day would be like, good morning, Sonny here. I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful day filled with love and friendship. I ain't risking shit, man.
Oh, man.
So I get along with my neighbor, right? Not the guy on the left, the guy I've told you about who put the fence up. By the way, Saturday afternoon, my friend sat over here. Moving truck pulls up, takes half the guy's shit out of his house. I don't know what's going on. Maybe he's going to the farm for the summer, but I was hoping they were moving all out, but just some of it. Now, but here's what I want to bring up. I don't even know why I mentioned it. My neighbor on the other side, great guy, man. Older guy, gave me a few tools to keep, has helped me with a project here and there. Just a nice guy, you know? He's got a wife who pretty much works, comes home, parks the car, lights a cigarette, goes inside. You never see her. Never see her. Maybe she'll say hi once in a blue moon if you're right where she's standing. Her driveway, their driveway is the end of their property. And then my front lawn starts. The other day, I'm clipping trees. And before I could, I'm still clipping all over the lawn. And a bunch of clippings are right on the edge of her driveway, just a little bit. He's not around. If he was there, he'd be like, hey, Pete, how you doing? She pulls in. Literally 3 feet from where she has to drive by, the bushes weren't in the way or anything. She gets out of the car, sees me raking, walks over, and starts kicking pretty violently all of my tree branches that are just hanging a half a foot on her driveway. She starts kicking them back on my lawn.
Oh, God.
And then she goes inside, man. I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything because I like a husband. But boy, oh, boy, what's the problem?
Yep, the problem is she's getting a bunch of twigs dumped on her porch tomorrow morning.
I can't. I would never. I like the guy too much, but it just came out of nowhere.
Would you ever mention it to the guy? Go, listen, guy, that's what wife's kicking twigs.
That's what I'm kind of asking you. You think I should? Just be like, dude, I hope there's no problem. Your wife came out and started kicking the fucking bushes and shit.
Yeah, but why don't you present it with like that? Say it like that rather than, you know, be accusatory. Just say, listen, did I do something? You know, no, why? Hey, wife came out, she kicking twigs on the lawn. I thought I might have done something.
But on the flip side, I'm wondering if maybe he tells her and then she's like, oh, God, I have one bad day. I kick a couple of branches and wah, wah, he's got to go running and tell you. Maybe I should just let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah, maybe just let it lie and see what happens.
So before we go, little Italian take?
Yeah.
Do you have other things you want to talk about? Because I'm down with anything if you do.
No, let's do Italian take.
What are we going to do when you're in Italy?
I was going to talk about that now. I was going to say maybe we could squeeze one out maybe on Thursday.
This Thursday? I could do one, yes.
Yeah, we'll do Thursday. We'll air it next week. We'll figure out the last week I'm in Italy. We'll figure it out. Might have to go dark.
It just went dark. Damn. How long are you going to be in Italy? 2 weeks?
Yeah.
All right.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But I'm thinking maybe we do two this week.
Yeah, that might work. That might work. So here we go. We have no Italian music. Let's get into it. Shark attack in Manhattan Beach. On Manhattan Beach. I don't know if you've read about it. Guy got bit by a shark. Great white shark.
Oh, yeah. Manhattan by me.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and there's been more and more sightings of great white sharks. They shut down the water for a short period of time. Question is, if you live there, would you go back in that water?
No, I don't go into shark-infested waters.
It's been about 100 shark bites in all of California in the past 90 years. But there's been a lot of sightings off the coast of Manhattan Beach. That's enough to keep you out.
Yeah, I have a feeling that just like when I go up into the mountains or when I go outside and it's heavily populated with bugs, the bugs seem to find me because I think my skin secretes something that bugs like. I don't know if you type really? Of guy, do you ever run and have like a nest of bugs following you?
It's the opposite. I went hiking with everyone this week. They all put on repellent and I'm like, I thought it was an Italian thing. I give off something that keeps the bugs away, man.
Oh, I just think that it's an Italian thing the opposite way, where I'm secreting like some olive oil and it's coming through my skin and it's like gnats are attracted to it. And that's the same way I feel like if I get into a body of water, say an ocean or whatnot, I feel like my skin's giving off something like chum. And the sharks sense it, and they go, we got to take a piece out of this guy.
This guy's like an hors d'oeuvre floating in the water, man. Let's get in on this. I tell you, I was off the coast of North Carolina at the Outer Banks once on vacation, and a dolphin came by, and everyone saw the fin at first, and people started screaming. And mm-hmm. I would say within about a solid 4 seconds, it went from screaming to someone saying it's just a dolphin. But for that 4 seconds, because I was only about 50 feet away, I was so scared that I wouldn't go in Manhattan Beach under these circumstances, man.
Well, listen, the dolphin. Okay. The way the dolphin looks, do you think if the dolphin was eating people, that the dolphin would look more frightening than it is? And let's say if the shark was friendly, you go, oh, it's just a shark. A shark looks like a killer. A dolphin looks like a friendly.
Yeah.
No?
No, there's no two ways about it, man. A shark can never look friendly. It can. It's got that look, that stone look, man. You're never going to see a shark smile going, I'm just swimming.
Okay, so why? This is just a question posing it. Why can you discriminate against animals, right? So if you see a pit bull, right?
Right.
All of a sudden, you go to, they kill people. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Isn't that being prejudiced towards the animal?
Technically it is, but I think it's really just being smart. You know what I'm saying, man? I mean...
Well, just because
they've been known to kill.
Has it attacked before? Does it mean it's going to attack again?
I think, bottom line, if you're dealing with any animal that could take you, then there's going to be certain reservations, no matter how docile it may be. But in this particular case, not only can this animal take you, it does eat people quite often. So, I mean, you call what you want, but I'm crossing the street. And I know pit bull owners get so uptight, and not my dog, but, you know, I mean, come on.
What is it with the pit bull, though, that people are, I mean, Bill Burr has a pit bull. And we were talking to him a couple of weeks ago, and he's even saying, yeah, he goes, you know, my dog's aggressive. You know, he was honest about it. But you have these owners out there, these pit bulls, and they're like, no, it's the sweetest dog. And every time I see a pit bull, we were running, Juan and I, the other day, and there's a pit bull on the sidewalk. And I took a little loop because, I don't know, every time I see that pit bull, it looks like he's going to take your leg off.
Right, and then the minute he thinks that you think that it might eat you, that's when it gets all hopped up, and now it wants to eat you.
Yeah.
You got to walk by and pretend you don't care, but that's a hard thing to do, man.
No way. Either way, I lose. If I walk by, I don't care, he's going to go, oh, you don't care about me? And then there goes my nut bag.
That's it. I was in front of my laundromat in Manhattan once. Guy had a pit bull, and he's holding the pit bull as if he's got a goddamn, what do you call those little dogs? Shih Tzu on a leash. He's got one finger holding it while he's chatting to a friend with a cup of coffee in his other hand. Now, about 30 yards away, closer to me, there's a young lady with a little mini dog. And she's reading the paper, and her mini dog is just laying there. And I'm watching this pit bull eye up this dog. And it, dude, it's like me or you seeing a goddamn pizza place at 4 in the morning. And it just all of a sudden bolted. And, of course, the guy wasn't holding hard enough. And I yelled up because I was looking. I go, whoa, your dog. And the lady picks up her dog and holds it over her head. And the pit bull's just jumping, trying to get at it, you know, but not doing anything to the lady. And the guy came over and grabbed it and goes, oh, I'm sorry, it never does that. It never does that.
Yeah. That's what you hear a lot. Oh, I'm sorry, we've never seen that before. Yeah.
Yeah, so, never I mean, seen that before. The question, though, is, like, what about the fact that, like, you know, why do we have gerbils and hamsters as pets? But if anyone ever had a rat as a pet, you'd go, oh, my, get me out of this fucking house.
Yeah, why are certain pets appropriate? Like, okay, when did the dog become the dog to have in the house? Like,
well, I think a dog's behavior, I think a dog was outside probably at a farm with all the other animals, and after a while its behavior was just so above and beyond everybody else's that finally somebody gave it the nod, you inside.
Do you think it was the behavior of the animal that said people were like, you know what, let's invite the dog in the house? Or did they just say, you know what, the dog looks like a cute pet to have. Bring that in and we'll domesticate it.
I like to think that the dog was just so cool that it got invited indoors. But, you know, so what you're basically saying, if years ago people felt the pig was the cutest thing, they would have brought that in. Broke that thing down until it was domesticated, and we'd all be sleeping with pigs at night.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It would be really hard come morning time. I'm hungover, and I got fucking ham next to me. That's the key. I think the key is if you're an animal, the kiss of death is being delicious.
Yeah.
That is the problem. Yeah. You do not want to taste good, man. Oh, all right, yeah, let's keep this going. This is the beauty of fucking Italian take. Joan Rivers walked out on an interview. Did you see that?
I read it, didn't see it.
Yeah, the woman was asking her about wearing a fur coat, and Joan Rivers felt she was being attacked and walked out.
Yeah.
I guess my question is, let's say you start doing the circuit for your new special. Let's say you're on with one of these late night hosts, maybe even not even like Letterman old school. Let's say you're on with one of the younger hipper guys like Seth MacFarlane. And then you feel subtly that he's like not respecting you and making fun of you. and then you feel it more and more. I mean, you really feel it. I'm not even going to give an example, but let's just say it's like,
yeah,
you feel that's what's going on. Would you, no matter what, weather the storm, or do you think you would ever just go, we're done?
I would weather the storm. I don't know if I could walk out. But half of this stuff, you don't know whether or not they're doing it for publicity or what the hell they're doing. If Joan Rivers goes on CNN and doesn't walk out, do the amount of people talking about Joan Rivers, is it the same as if she did walk out?
I know. That dude. And, you know, that's the thing. She's such a legend that, you know, her, it's, after 50 years, maybe you would walk out. I like that move so much. I'm thinking about making it my move. Like,
where would you do it, though?
I would do it anytime. Like, once I hit and I start sitting on the couch, Letterman will be like, we're doing 4 minutes. And when he's like, well, Letterman, by the time I hit, he's going to be retired. But anyway, I'll be 5 minutes. They want me to do 5 minutes of chatter. I'm like 3 minutes in. I finish the story. And then he goes, so now what about this move? I'm like, nah, I'm good. That story was all I wanted to tell. Later. Just leave him. And then they look at the camera and go, he did it to us again, folks. He did it to us again.
This guy's amazing. He doesn't even sit for a whole interview.
I'll even go, if they go, we're going to give you 5 minutes, I'll go, all right, let's pretend you're giving me 7, and when I walk out at 5, we pretend I left early, because that's my move. Guy won $115 million take home in the lottery in Tennessee. Largest amount ever won in Tennessee. Now, the guy is a pastor, and he's dedicated himself to a life of poverty, and he's giving all the money to the arts, to local theater and stuff. What exactly does that mean when you dedicate yourself to a life of poverty? Because he went out and he bought a lotto ticket. So what does that mean? Giving yourself the bare necessities?
I don't even know what that means. What do you do? You just don't own a home?
This religion he's in and he's a part of, all members resolve themselves to a life of poverty. I don't know if that means you don't have a home. Celibacy and total dedication to the church.
What's the question?
I don't know. I guess I'm just talking. When I read it, I was thinking to myself, though, what does that mean? What is poverty? Does that mean you get every dime you make, you give away? Or do you just give yourself enough, like, I don't have cable?
Yeah, I don't know. I think you live with the bare minimum.
I guess so. I'm trying to figure out what that is. But, hey, listen, they're all not hits and misses. I got one more, or two more. One, oh yeah, real quick, they just came out with the top 500 corporations in the entire world. Biggest money-making corporations. You know what number one is, if you had to guess?
Revenue-wise, I would guess Apple or Exxon.
Exxon is number 5, Apple number 15.
Ooh, number one.
Number one, I'll give you a hint, it's not oil.
Oh, Walmart.
Do you believe it? Walmart. Unbelievable. Number one.
Wow. What's number two?
Shell.
What is there any tech in the top 10?
Nope.
Amazon?
No. I just to put this in perspective how big these companies are, because I don't have them all in front of me. I just wrote down the ones that stuck out. Number 433 is McDonald's.
433. Wow.
Jesus. And last but not least, I was watching the internet before and I just thought this was so cheesy, but they're like, oh, take a look at what slowed down this couple's vacation waiting to cross the street. And then I click it because I got nothing to do at the time. And it's sheep on the road. Like, whatever. I took my time. But it made me think, have you seen anything from your car that you were like, holy shit?
On the streets?
Anything.
You got one?
I had black bear across the street once, whatever. Crop duster. We were in a convertible. Crop duster came right over, only about fucking 30 feet above. That was kind of cool. 30 yards above. But accidents.
Yeah, no, I can't say anything odd has come across my way where we're like, can you believe? I saw a YouTube video recently where there's two monkeys. One monkey got on a moving car, jumped on the hood, and then another monkey jumped on the hood as well, and the monkey started having sex on the hood of the car while it was driving.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to post that up on our fan page for people to see. I couldn't stop laughing.
Holy shit, man. What are you doing watching that shit? That's what I'm saying. What are we doing? I'm clicking on this stupid shit about whatever the hell I've been reading. Minnesota, Tennessee guy and crap. Who cares?
And sometimes you wake up. This is what I do. Sometimes I wake up and I go to my phone. I just look at the news feed and all these like weird videos come up. I'm into these knockout videos. I've been watching these videos where people are getting into fights. Like, could be kids. It could be whatever. And it's a little disturbing to watch, but I find it fascinating.
Oh, my God. You're encouraging it when you watch that. I know those. I know what you're talking about. You shouldn't be watching that shit. That's like, man, that's terrible to be watching that.
Yeah, no, I feel bad watching it, but sometimes it's like a car wreck. You got to see it. I just can't believe how many people. Have you ever caught anything on video? I mean, everybody seems to be catching shit on video. Like, there was this cop beating up a lady out here on the 10th.
Yes.
And there's people videotaping it. I never come across anything that I would post up online and it would be a news story.
Never. I mean, when something happens, it happened. I didn't have time to film it because I was watching it.
Yeah, I don't know if these people already have the camera. Like, I'll give you another example. Sometimes you see online these videos, these viral videos of a car crash happening in front of a car. And the car, what does it have, a video mount on the dashboard? It's like, who the hell is videotaping their driving?
I've seen that too. I've seen one where the woman has got a guy on her ass wanting to get around. He gets around, and he speeds around her so fast that when he gets around, he crashes into a pole, and she laughs. Yeah. Like, why are you even videotaping that?
I don't know. Everybody's videotaping this stuff from their cars, yet I go to text Lana, I'll be home in 5 minutes. I'm getting pulled over for a ticket.
Oh, they got you, huh?
No, I was just using an example. It's like,
no, I hear you, man. It's unbelievable. People are always got them on. They always got them on these days.
I don't know. I don't have my camera on that much to collect all this information people are doing.
I wanted to do a show. It's as simple as this. You put up a camera on like a busy intersection where people walk a lot, and you just sit there from a distance. And you zoom in on whoever you want, and when you put it on TV, you have to blur out their faces, but you just make fun of everybody. That's all you do. And you call
That's the show?
And it's called Look at This Guy. And each week I have a guest who sits there with me, and we make fun of fucking everybody that comes by. Nice dress, nice hat. What are you going to the, you know, like that, all day long. That's it.
It's a half an hour of ripping people to shreds.
That's it. It's the only show that hasn't been done yet. So, anyway, you got anything closing this bitch out or what?
No, I got, where you at this week?
This week I'm camping, and then it kicks off, baby. I want to list some of them. You can go to PeteCorielli.com for all dates, but up until now, till the new year, Louisville, Phoenix, Boston, New York, Atlanta, Mini, I'm all over, but I'll be at Atlanta July 17th that weekend, and then the weekend after that I'll be in Boston.
Nice. I will not be anywhere until August 8th. My mother-in-law complained that, you know, Pete says his website, why don't you give out your website? Well, here you go, Moni, SebastianLive.com. Go there for tour dates and revamping the website. That's going to take about a month and a half. So fresh new website coming at you. And that's beautiful. It, man. We're going to give you the listeners another show. Well, we're going to tape it this week, but it will air next.
Now, listen, lastly, do you have a date yet for the special air date?
Before November 15th, probably end of October, beginning of November.
Excellent. All right. All right, man. Great hanging, and I'll catch up with you Thursday.
All right, man. Take care.
Later.